All right, let's turn back to Ezekiel chapter 1. We just need to hold these things, don't we, and keep them so we can flip back and forth. Because Ezekiel's going to give us a little bit more explanation about these guys. And I want you to keep in mind the description, the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man. And look down at verse 4. I looked and I saw a windstorm coming out of the north, an immense cloud with flashing lightning and surrounded by a brilliant light. The center of the fire looked like glowing metal, and in the fire was what looked like four living creatures, the Hasmal. In appearance, their form was that of a man, but each of them had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight, and their feet were like those of a calf and gleamed with burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had the hands of a man. You see the little bit of a contradiction here? John sees them as having six wings. Ezekiel describes them as having four. I think there's an answer to that bears out more study. That's why I wanted you to be aware that we may be talking about two different groups of beings here. The Hasmal and then a separate set of four cherubim that we know have four wings. All right? All four of them had faces and wings, and their wings touched one another. Each one of them went straight ahead, and this is very important. They did not turn as they moved. Now, there's a sentence you could read over a million times and not think anything of it, isn't it? Very, very important. Their faces looked like this. Each of the four had the face of a man on the right side, and on the right side, each had the face of a lion, and on the left side, the face of an ox, and also the face of an eagle. So let me simplify this. I don't want to speak against them, but if you would think of their head in terms of a cube, you've got all four faces, these same descriptions. But if this side is the lion, I will never turn this way, because the lion always goes this direction. The ox always goes that direction. Now, why is that going to be important? Because when we come to Revelation chapter 6 and we see the four horsemen come out of the heavenlies, we're going to see them going to particular directions. All right? And we'll see how that is connected to this here in a little bit. So here is this incredible scene. We've got the throne chariot of God. We've got the four living creatures. We can debate, are they cherubim, seraphim, whatever. We know they're there. We've seen the descriptions enough time to understand that they're real. They serve God. And then surrounding them, and I didn't take time to put up the chairs, we have 24 other thrones, and upon them, 24 elders. Wow, it can't be. Oh. Okay, let me finish out chapter 4, and if you want to take a break, we'll take about a five-minute break. The 24 elders, there's a lot of speculation as to who they are. Some have speculated that, if you divide 24 by 2, you have a set of 12 and 12. So you have the 12 apostles of the Lamb and the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, that's a nice picture. Some have said, and I don't dispute that, some have said that maybe it's a representation of the 24 divisions of the priesthood. I lean more in that direction. But the one I really lean towards is this. These are the 24 elders that witness the altar service. We're about to see in this description that in front of the throne, right about here, there is an altar. Remember when Isaiah looked up and he cried out, "Woe is me," and the angel went to the altar and took a coal and touched his lips. We're going to see that same altar in the book of Revelation. We're going to see things happening that come from the altar. In Israel, when they established the tabernacle and the temple, there were two sacrifices, an evening and a morning sacrifice. Now, these sacrifices are being done on behalf of the children of Israel. In order for that to be effective, there have to be witnesses. So it is recorded in the scriptures that the children of Israel sent two men from each tribe, and these 24 men were there, and I'm sure they served in some sort of rotating fashion, but the 24 of them were there to daily witness the altar service, morning and evening. We also know that there were 24 divisions of the Levitical priesthood. The whole point about that, this should not surprise us. We are not seeing anything new that we have not already been shown before in the pattern of the tabernacle and in the life of Israel. I cannot overstress this, how important it is for us to understand how God has used Israel to reveal what He is doing to all of us. If we cast that aside, we literally are trying to read a book in a language we have not learned. And that is the real reason we have had a hard time understanding the book of Revelation. It is not hard to understand, but if you have never studied the terms, if you haven't understood the tabernacle, if you haven't understood the temple, if you haven't understood these things that God has been doing, it is hard to walk into the throne room and suddenly make sense of all this. And please understand, I'm not scolding you for that, okay? It is my conviction that this is part and parcel of the plan of God, but that we are a generation that must have this restored to us. We must choose to know. We must choose to study to show ourselves approved if we want to know the truth. If we don't want to know the truth, if we want to walk away, then we can live in ignorance. But God has given us the information. These are real places, real creatures, real angels doing real things. And God has taken great steps to show us that. Well, let me close this part of our session just by calling your attention to the incredible song that they sing. You are worthy, our Lord God, to receive honor and glory and power, for you created all things, and by your will they are created and have their being. Notice there is no reference to the Lamb in that particular song. The focus is on God the Father, the one that we'll be referring to as the one who sits on the throne. I don't know exactly who they all are and what their names are, but I do know what they do. And unlike down here, the highest created beings of existence are not ashamed to fall at the feet of the Savior and their God. The 24 elders who stand there participating in a holy responsibility. These guys crack me up. They can't stay seated. The four living creatures start singing and bam, down they go. And they cast their golden crowns before the Lord and they worship Him. You know, I know that we do, I don't want to misuse the term elder in this particular passage. You know, sometimes we want to, you know, transfer that word. Well, we have elders in the church, it must be talking about the same thing, and maybe it is, maybe it's not. But if I could stretch it just a bit, I would suggest to you that maybe this ought to be part of the qualifications of an elder in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That along with all of the things that sometimes we nitpick a man to death over, ought to be first and foremost, is this a man of humble spirit who will lead us to the throne and teach us to worship? If he is too proud to fall down and worship God, he does not have the qualifications to be an elder in the church. And with that, I'll give you 5 minutes.